It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Right, have you finished your breakfast?
Yeah, I have. Well, I'll finish the rest of it later. Something to look forward to.
Something to look forward to after the horror of the podcast. It's going to be fine, this one, because I've just been for a walk. We haven't seen each other for half an hour, because the last two podcasts, although they've been beautifully edited and you'd never have known.
Yeah, I forgot to tell you, Neil, last week was really good. It was absolutely a nightmare while we were actually doing it, but it sounded really good.
And the previous week was good and had been a nightmare. And I want to avoid the thing we've had in the last 2 weeks, which is Neil sitting at the end of our table with his hands between his legs and his face pointing at the floor, like when Sam's been naughty, just trying to shrink. Hope they won't notice. Well, we're horrible to each other. Massive row. No point going into issues of fault or blame.
But it's your fault.
But it's because it would reflect poorly on you. And I just thought, fuck it, this time I just go for a walk in the sunshine and I will come back and we'll sit down.
Uh-huh.
And we're coming together for the first time as strangers. to say, so you, and this morning you said rather breezily, there's actually lots in the news.
There's loads.
Well, that sounds great.
Absolutely loads. I don't know where to start.
Topically, I mean, there's all sorts of things we could do. Topically, yeah. I find it interesting that this afternoon I'm going to go and play cricket for the Garrick Club.
Right, let's go, Garrick.
Oh, are we starting?
So, Garrick, on the front page...
Garrick Club votes...
...of the Times this morning. The Guardian, which I walked past, a newsstand and saw the Guardian newspaper, they've done it absolutely massive. It's like half of the front page. They're so obsessed with Garrick.
Basically, well, last night, within 3 minutes of the votes, just to be clear, I'm sure everyone knows that Garrick Club votes to allow female members. Members of the men-only Garrick Club voted last night to allow women to join their ranks after 4,093 years. The actors Nigel Havers and Stephen Fryer, Eldon Boring, and a former Supreme Court Lord Jumption who can stick it up his arse, were understood to speak of it. In the end, 60% of the London Club 1,500 members who took part supported the motion. A remarkable club will become more remarkable, one supporter of the motion said, and it will continue to thrive rather than die. Okay, so that's what's happened with the Garrick.
How old is the Garrick? Do you know?
It's 193. It says here 193 years. But and last night, within minutes of the resolution or the passing of the motion, which I knew, within minutes it was up on the Guardian had the story because it's, and the Guardian basically said it's the Guardian what done it.
Remember, it's the Sun won it with the general election.
It's the Sun what won it. Amelia Gentleman, and Millie's obviously, she went big, front page of the Guardian. They tried to, they exposed who the members were of the Garrick, and it turned out to be a load of old blokes who were a bit embarrassed about it. But the Guardian decided to take them down. People are interested in the Garrick Club, not the oldest, not the most widely membershiped, and by no means the most influential of the gentlemen's clubs, the Athenaeum, the Carlton Club, a lot of those have got a lot more important members, bigger membership, richer, older. But no one gives a shit about them because they don't have actors. They don't have people out of Downton.
And they don't have lawyers.
And they don't have lawyers. So the key thing here is that the Garrick, everyone gives a shit. Bear in mind, nobody really gives a shit.
No.
But it's a sort of iconic culture war story, isn't it?
Yeah.
The Garrick has members from such as the bloke from Paddington. And down, what's he called? Lord Downton. Hugh Bonneville, bloke out of Paddington. It has Damien Lewis. It has people from Stephen Fry. He's probably and it has other people from the Harry Potter franchise. So people care, and so they go, "Wow, wow, it's terrible," and they all want to look good. And then it's got lawyers.
Yeah, and so there's an element of hypocrisy, genuinely.
So all these lawyers were suddenly being told they would have to recuse themselves from equality cases, equality-based cases.
One of them did. So
this thing happened. Anyway, it's voted about our female members, and the Guardian's very pleased about it. I am playing cricket for the Garrick Club, which I tried to join and failed because although my friends wanted me to join, there were people.
Just a couple of restaurant owners.
A couple of people who'd heard the podcast. So, you know, this twat. So I'm still not a member, and now I'm never going to get to be a member because who would choose me over Emily Maitlis or Mary Beard or all these people?
Right. So there are a couple of directions that we can go in this. We can go. We've covered this before, and I thought what was quite interesting is what happens next, right? So they voted to admit women members. But what does that mean in practical terms? It still means the rules that apply to prospective male members also apply to women. What's the process? I don't know what it is.
So what happened with me, having never particularly wanted to join the Garrick and thinking, it's quite a nice place to go from time to
time. Because you don't want to be a member of a club that wants you or doesn't want you.
I'm not
a clubbable guy.
I'm just not a clubbable guy. No. And I'd heard that you had to go to sort of cocktail parties and tell people why you wanted to join and show what a lovely
fucking
chap you
are. Fuck off.
Yeah, I would go to the party, I'd get pissed, I'd tell them to fuck off, make eyes at their wife, and then drive home pissed, crash into the main gates of the Garrick Club. You know, and they would not want me. And they just, I couldn't be me. I couldn't be my best me. But no. I used to get taken a couple of times a year by people.
Sounds great.
They have great wine because they buy it on premier early, and you get kind of off license prices for great clarets that you can't even buy in the offline. That's the main recommendation. Yeah. And so I started playing for the cricket team because some friends of mine were running it. And after a year of the cricket team playing for them last summer, when they were all getting to wear this pink and green cap, which I couldn't, I looked like a bit of a...
Sounds about as nice as the MCC tie.
It's an ugly colour.
Yeah.
But so in the sort of team photos, I'm standing there like some interloper. They're like those people who run onto the pitch in a test match and get in the photo. Who's this sweaty man with the wrong hat? So I remember when I went to the cricket dinner, for example, I couldn't pay for myself, had to be paid for by a guest. And they all said, come on, join. So I did. They put your name in the book, which is this.
Now, is this an actual book?
Yeah.
Do you know where is it kept?
I haven't seen it. It's kept in some inner thing where you have to
be a member to get in. Okay, fine.
No, I don't know. I wasn't interested.
I've never been there.
It goes in the book, and there are lots and lots of books, and they go back to like the older than the Talmud. Your friends go and sign, and they said, "Have you heard old Corrin's up for membership?" Oh, marvellous! And they go and sign it, and I got the whole cricket team signed it, and I got lots, and it can take.
You know what the threshold is?
What threshold?
The threshold for them
it's
being considered.
It's all not written down because it's a club. It's not...
Okay, but I'm asking the questions on the behalf of our
listener. These
are
typical women questions they're going to now have to deal with, aren't they? These are the kind of things that... This is what Naga Manchetti, when she becomes a member, is going to say. What is the threshold? It isn't. It isn't. The threshold would be if the king wanted to join. The threshold is in you come. Right? I wanted to join... But what happened is lots and lots of people signed me. It was very, very popular because I got lots and lots of friends and members of the Garrick.
Yeah.
But I am... Turns out I'm widely regarded as a controversial figure. Because when my name, faster than in recorded human history, came up in front of the committee, because the book was so covered in people saying, yo, go Jiley, that they had to... It went through to be discussed, and they were all going fine, and then two or three people, it said, raised strong objections, which meant they decided not to proceed further. Had they proceeded further, gone to a vote or something, I don't know what, I might have been blackballed.
Whoa.
Like, I believe Jeremy...
Paxman
was.
He was blackballed.
And that would mean that people would resign if I became a member. Now, Paxman in the end became a member. And this is what happened to me. So I sort of backed away, still playing. What we're thinking, you're thinking, obviously, is, well, so this massive hoo-ha has been made.
Yeah.
Now, Mary Beard's name comes up in front of the committee with all...
Yes.
And then...
Well, no. Mary Beard's name goes in the book.
Mm.
And then she has to collect signatures.
No, but what if you get down the line, you get the same three or four old wankers that didn't like me.
Yeah.
Go, we don't want Mary Beard.
Yeah.
The Garrick doesn't have to say who they are.
No.
Because they never told me.
No.
I think they know what might have ensued if I'd had the names and addresses of the people.
Yes.
They didn't tell me.
14 pizzas arriving at their house.
It's just a... It's
That'll be £900, please.
Such benign terrorism, you imagine.
Yeah.
Because you know, it's a private members club, and it's... So this is Mary Beard gets all the way through, she gets all the names in the book, right? And then they take, and they say, well, actually, mate, what they do with me, my mate in the pub said, about that, Jiley, it's not going to happen. Then what?
Yeah.
And what if they do that with all the women?
It's such a kind of... It's the problem of equality writ large, isn't it? Really. Because, I mean, I can't quite make... the leap or whatever, but you know, you want there to be equality in parenting, and you want there to be equality in FTSE 100 companies, and you want there to be equality here and there, and you can engineer it so far and then you can't.
Well, you also, what is equality? Should women have the right to be blackballed like me?
Yeah.
You know, Mary Beard treated just like a bloke, not allowed in. Yeah. You have your interesting point about the condescending nature of it, that if women wanted such clubs,
they'd make them happen themselves, you know. I mean, I always go, well, that sort of clubby atmosphere, I mean, I'm not sure what men get from that. I'm not sure how it makes them feel. I'm not sure what internal part of them it's sort of speaking to. I don't know. My favourite place to be in the whole world is my kitchen. And I know that that makes me seem a bit kind of weird.
You draw a picture of us as me, you in the kitchen, me desperately trying to get into the Garrick Club. I'm in your fucking kitchen too.
I like being in a nice, clean kitchen, nice, quiet, clean kitchen. No one's bothering me. And maybe I've got my laptop or a book or a cup of tea or something. That's where I want to be. I don't know what other women do. Maybe they all go to gigs, or maybe they go to dinner, or I don't know what they're doing. But let me tell you what sure as hell they're not doing. They're not slogging into town. All dressed up in whatever it is in order to go and take advantage of the off-street prices for this disgusting wine they've got. I mean, they don't want that. Because if they did, they would have it.
Because
they would
have
made
it happen.
You want
a bottle of ice-cold Kylie and you don't care what you have to pay for it.
100%. But in my garden. I don't want to go somewhere.
But these women believe that important shit goes down, that they're missing out on.
Right.
So when Kathy Newman, who was one of the people who was originally... Kathy Newman goes clacketing into the Garrick in her high heels, sort of, so where's all the... I'm going to get some jobs. I'm going to get... She's going to get in there and she's going to find a load of blokes kind of passed out on the carpet with a dribble of sick and the racing post open in front of them.
I mean, the thing is that I'm not sure where Kathy Newman or any of those ladies who want to join the Garrick, I'm not sure where it is they went to school, but if you have attended a boys' school, as I have, and if you've been a minority in a boys' school, if boys want to get together and talk about something without you, they will do it. Boys will just... my friend, who definitely won't want to be named, so I won't say what her name is.
Oh, God, another anecdote where you can't name the person.
But she's a big divorce lawyer, and I spoke to her about this, and I said, look, you know, about, like, because I was writing about something, about gentlemen's clubs and whatever, do you feel, as a big divorce barrister, that you are excluded from certain opportunities and conversations because you aren't a member of a gentleman's club? And she said, no, I'm excluded for big conversations and those kind of networking opportunities because I don't play golf. Genuinely, she thinks that's where it is mostly happening. And so, and even if it isn't, if there's this conspiracy to keep women out of certain areas of the law or arts or whatever, which I'm not saying there isn't, if there is a conspiracy, it will just go somewhere else.
And long may it last.
Amen to that. Moving on. 18 things that Muslims want Keir Starmer to do.
So this was a story about a call to Keir Starmer. Muslim campaign gives Starmer 18 demands to regain support. A grassroots Muslim campaign supported by several controversial groups, has given 18 demands to Sir Keir Starmer to win back lost votes over Gaza.
They've gone for it.
The Muslim vote, which wants to punish MPs who do not back a ceasefire, has told the Labour leader to apologise for his stance on the Middle East crisis.
Yeah, going hard, yeah.
Promise to cut military ties with Israel.
Yeah.
And allow followers of Islam to pray in schools. Yes. For a failure to grasp the workings of NATO there. I mean, it's like...
A failure to grasp the workings of quite a lot of schools
with
as well.
With no disrespect to Muslims, just to this Muslim campaign. These are the things, if we're going to vote for Starmer, they want. They want them to remove the definition of extremism introduced by Michael Gove, which is a big deal. And they let it deliver alternative student finance. That's because they don't want...
Well, they don't want investment going to the wrong places.
No, it's because Muslims aren't supposed to pay or charge interest.
That's right, that's why Muslims have their own banks.
They want to ensure Sharia-compliant pensions are available in every workplace, recognise a Palestinian state as the third item, bring in a travel ban on all Israeli politicians.
That's right, yeah. You're asking for sanctions, basically. You Keir Starmer... Anyway, this is... your column, if you do this, would not be particularly about this, because
you would point out to this thing, that this very small interest group of wacko things that it wants for Keir Starmer to completely dismantle about Britain, to have any chance of him voting for them, and then do what?
And then come up with your own 18 of your own things that you need Keir Starmer to commit to before you will vote Labour.
Exactly. Therefore, satirising the preposterousness of this group of people that think that that's how democracy works. I will only vote. It's not something. It's just, this is what I would demand from Keir Starmer. Yeah. Sweetbreads available as a mid-course delicacy at every restaurant, including McDonald's, served with a veal reduction and a pomme puree, selon Alain Robuchon. That's what I want.
So not even.
Joel Robuchon.
Not even my demand that no section of Highgate Road nor Gordon House Road would ever be dug up again, ever.
Exactly. There should never, ever again be roadworks in NW5. They should invent a submarine drilling tool and go underneath the houses in order to fix anything.
And then they need to apologise to me for all of my time that they have wasted sitting in traffic due to their stupid bloody thingies.
All speed limit signs to have a thing underneath that says, except for Jiley.
Yeah, except, yeah.
70 miles an hour, except for Jiley. So that's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to demand. Do you think it's got legs? Do you think it'll run?
It's definitely got legs, yeah.
Do you start sensible?
You start sensible and then go crazy. Yeah, exactly, to keep people laughing. This only requires you to think for 20 minutes and then you'll be away.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Do you remember, you remember we went to see Opening Night?
Yeah, which I liked and nobody else did.
Yes.
Opening Night is, it was a play reimagined by Rufus Wainwright and someone else. It's from a film, I think a 1977 film, which was a massive flop.
By John Cassavetes.
And so what they decided to do was turn it into a play.
A musical.
And we went to see it.
Starring Sheridan Smith.
Exactly. And Rufus Wainwright did the music. And I love an actress nervous breakdown more than anything else in the whole world. I'm totally fascinated by Sheridan Smith, who had a nervous breakdown while she was performing as funny girl on stage, and now she, in a kind of very kind of meta way, she stars as an actress having a nervous breakdown, and she's also an actress who has a nervous breakdown in Opening Night. And poor old Opening Night Closed
almost immediately.
Almost
bit
immediately.
Of a hostage to fortune. We went to the opening night of Opening Night,
yeah,
and a good friend of ours, a major musical, theatrical, impresario, and I mean major.
Yeah.
Can you name two? Probably this is the other one. But we won't name him because it wouldn't be fair. Said, enjoy yourselves, darlings. I'm not going to go. I saw rehearsals. Okay? So hadn't even had to see it to know.
I loved it.
That it was going to close.
I'm going to go.
You loved it.
I loved it, yeah.
Do you want to name some of the other shit things that you love? Neil points towards me. The joke of the century, and he does it in mime. This is why you'll never be a radio star. You wanker. No. You're right. Other things Esther Walker loves that are shit.
Transformers.
Giles Corran,
the
Transformers.
Movie. I love Transformers.
There you go, Transformers. Books.
Yeah, shit books. I love shit books. So I love the Da Vinci Code.
So you have absolutely no taste at all. No. So the point is, this thing has closed, right?
It has.
It was bonkers, and it was very hard to sit through. But, you know, we were guests, and we had drinks at the half
point. I was sitting next to Twiggy.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, it was
there
great.
So it's closed. Have you seen this by Rufus Wainwright, why he thinks it closed?
I have, but I'm going to let you explain why he thinks it's closed.
He thinks it closed because of Brexit. He thinks it was Brexit that selectively closed his incredibly shit musical, but didn't close all the really good musicals.
Because why? Go into
a musical
it.
Starring Sharon Smith was forced to close early because it was too European, according to its creator. Now, that you could say, because European just means complicated, doesn't it?
It just means unfathomable.
Basically, you don't go and see... European movie meant boring but might have tits in. But the thing is, it's not actually just that. If it were just that, say, my musical's just too European, too complicated. He's right. Actually said... that he puts the blame for cutting reviews of opening night squarely on West End audiences, which he claimed lacked curiosity after Brexit. Brexit has somehow made them not like his very complex and difficult music. All the reviews from Europe were incredible, he said. I mean, it's the classic thing. Woody Allen films, after they became shit, always got great reviews in France because they don't really understand and they just... lie there snogging in the back row in France. They don't really.
But Woody Allen films always have some sort of dazzling ingenue in it, which the French...
They're all about old men buffing young girls, which the France is the last place that's okay. The staging and the rhythm is more European, he said. You know, just mean shit. As opposed to American would be like Superman or Transformers.
No, it just means... What he means is that opening night... Okay, opening night was not slave... to the formulas that most musicals adhere to make them comprehensible.
He hadn't tried to make it fun.
He hadn't submitted his creative work to any sort of formula.
It had hairy armpits and smelt of garlic. He hadn't really... He says, the staging and the rhythm is more European and there was a vitriolic reaction against that. He said, I don't think it was perfect and that I don't deserve criticism. And he's obviously saying that, and I don't want to be cruel, because I just want to say, Rufus, you want to see what they said about my novel. I didn't blame Brexit because there wasn't Brexit. You know, we've all made things that we tried really hard to do well.
And everyone said they were
shit. I don't think it was perfect, but I don't deserve criticism. But this thing of shutting it down is not exactly what you want. It's not really the theatrical lane I want to be in.
Oh.
Britain's become more insular since the Brexit referendum. And he thinks that Brexit is just another example of small-minded British places. They have things like the Garrick Club. They have things like cricket. They're all a bit hidebound, sexually unadventurous. Okay, they were never going to like my musical.
Right.
It's just quite funny. And like, there's a column in which, you know, well, of course, mine blame everything on Brexit. You can blame Brexit for the rise in the prices of restaurants and pubs because you can't get the staff anymore. The problems with care for the elderly, but because of you're not having the same levels of migration.
Right.
You're all sorts of things. Blame it on people who didn't really like your really complicated musical with no good songs in it.
The thing is, Mr. Wainwright, what I would blame is accountants and bottom line people. Who see art as just a kind of but is it going to make any money? And if you have a series of, if you then train the general public to only consume art in certain forms, they are not open to appreciating something like opening night, which had many, many really good things about it. I'm boring myself now, so let's move on.
Despite the fact that any defense of confident art.
Yeah.
The story about the clutch is quite interesting.
Yeah, I think it's in yesterday's.
The shift to electric vehicles could kill off the manual gearbox within 5 years. Basically, all electric cars don't have gearboxes. Volvo, Mercedes, Jaguar and Lexus, none of them put a manual gearbox in their petrol cars. They're going to have died out by 2035 anyway. There were a record 324,000 automatic-only driving tests taken last year compared with a decade earlier. So no one's going to be able to drive. So first of all, what do we think of people who only have an automatic driving licence?
I think they're not worried enough about the apocalypse, is what I think. Our babysitter who is 17 and is doing her learning how to drive and is going to do her driving test, even though she's very little, I mean, she's practically Gen Alpha, she is doing a manual driving test. And I said, is it because of the apocalypse? And she said, yes. Because that generation have really been brought up on a lot of dystopian post-apocalyptic literature, and they genuinely believe that it's coming. The Last of Us, I mean, that's what they think the future is going to hold. So if you were in a post-apocalyptic world and you come across a tractor that's got some petrol left in it, but you can't fucking drive a manual gearbox, you're going to be eaten by the zombies. That's what I think about manual gearboxes.
But that's quite a niche area, because
I think that's what they think.
It's true. But there's also, no, but going back, you know, you did your test on a manual, and I have a very good friend who did his test on an automatic car 40 years ago. And it's like, first of all, You can't borrow a car. What if you've got to hire? What if you've got to drive your wife to the hospital from rural Provence?
Yeah, in someone else's Fiat Punto.
It's another thing that these kids today aren't going to have to do. They're not going to have to learn to do. And it's like, what about the pleasures of gearbox driving? My father got an automatic car as a company car in about 1990, and he really loved driving, and his car was his kind of independent. In the 50s, when there was no MOT, he would always, yes, and it's just the camshaft and the grease monkey and the long turbine and the bum shaft.
Throw out the throttle and
bring in the carburetor and all that kind of shit. Why don't you understand? But then when he got an automatic BMW 325i with his company car, he then used to sit, when he drove, he used to rest his arm on the automatic gear stick and go, rum, rum, rum. He didn't make the noise, but he would rev it, and he would put it into that 1, 2, and 3 gear. Sometimes, just because for him, driving was ripping the steering wheel to one side and yanking the gearbox. So he would always have his hand hovered on it, even though
it wasn't doing anything.
He never changed gear. So there is a romance, there's an element, but there's also
The view from the female boundary is that men like manual gearboxes because they like fiddling with knobs.
Yep, there's also that. It's why women are so bad at it.
I'm just not interested.
It's why they build automatic cars for women who simply won't touch a knob. But when I was young, there was a big thing was driving home. Me and my mate Bob was driving home without using the brakes.
Right.
Only using the engine to slow the car.
Gee, I wish I could be a fly on the wall with you boys. I wish, maybe I could, if I join the Jack Garrett Club, will there be this level of chat?
No, none of those old fuckers can drive. They all get dropped off by their wives who go home to their kitchens while they
punching
lie there,
the air. Dribbling. Punching the air, opening champagne, calling their friends.
Calling taxi.
Come round!
But the point about the it would be other difficult but rewarding things you don't have to do anymore.
Okay, fine.
Technology is going to deprive them of the fun of the manual gear. What other sort of
calling, having to speak to your friend's mum
dialing.
Yeah, dialing.
You know, and being in such a hurry to speak to this bird that you do you remember dragging it back? And drag it back. And
the terrible whine that the rotary made when you were like,
That was a pleasure, and that was an analog pleasure, like tuning the wireless thing again.
Yep.
This is London calling.
Tuning it. I used to have to tune our telly with a screwdriver in the Watson.
So that's a pleasure. Other things, you know, that
we're doing pretty well now. We're motoring along. I am in charge of topping up the windscreen squish in our cars, because it's a manual task to do with cars that I really enjoy, and it makes me feel like I know about cars, which I don't.
Well, you're in terms of master in charge of detergents. Is that like,
yeah, I am. So I am in charge of all detergents.
It's an under the sink squish that you can have. It's very, very. While I'm at the Garrett Club, you're just sorting out the.
I think if you're going to do this as a column, you have to think of things, manual things that one used to have to do that you don't have to do anymore. So
Wind the window. Oh, very good. There
wind
he goes.
The window up.
He did the mime again to show how little grasp he has of audio. But I'm glad that's what he was miming, because I wasn't entirely sure for a minute. But yes, no, exactly. There you go. The winding. Oh, God, that was
lovely.
The window
winder. Yeah. Exactly.
Anyway, that's a column.
Anyway, yeah, exactly. There's that.
There was one story which I think we could possibly end.
Yes, what?
Was that a sigh?
Yes, it was.
What? Don't fucking sigh at me. Just because the podcast is over and it doesn't matter if I get in a bad mood. That sigh is a particular lead-in to this story.
Oh, UK women are unhappier than European women.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is that true of you?
I read that. Well, I'm actually in quite a good mood at the moment, but the past 10 days I've been feeling very, very sad.
Why are you in a good mood?
Well, I think, honestly, I think I'm so basic, I'm in a good mood because it's sunny.
Really?
Yeah, I think that is as, it is as basic as that.
The headline is UK women are sadder than those in Europe.
Sadder is a
Does it mean
very,
sad like yeah. well sad?
No, I think they mean actually sort of tristesse. I think they mean sad.
They don't mean and sad because they're into like shit novels and.
I don't know what it is. I think that I'd be interested to know what their hypothesis is as to
a global survey on women's health and well-being found that 30% of British women felt sadness the previous day compared with 26% of women in the EU.
I really wonder what that is. I think is it a weather thing? Is it because also UK women have just bonkers levels of drinking as well, and I don't know if they're drinking because they're sad or they're sad because they're drinking. But I think those two are linked somehow.
You're not drinking. Maybe that's why you're happy.
I'm not. Well, no, but I haven't been drinking for weeks, and I've been a bit miserable for the last few days. But then you have to take into account sort of circumstantial stuff, like this massive piece of work I've been working on that was really a monkey on my shoulder, and now it's gone. I mean, that's just a personal thing that doesn't really affect my kind of that doesn't affect other people's happiness.
Or maybe you're just happy because now you can join the Garrick. You've been listening to Giles Corran Has No Idea with me, Giles Corran.
And me, Esther Walker.
To find out what I wrote about in the end, pick up a copy of the paper or treat yourselves to a digital subscription.
Hi, I'm Jane Garvey.
And I'm Fee Glover.
Off Air with Jane and Fee is going live.
We are taking to the stage at the amazing Crucible Theatre in Sheffield on Friday, the 31st of May.
It'll be a night full of surprises. We'll have a special guest, we'll involve you in the audience, and we'll embarrass ourselves. You really won't want to miss it.
Well, the surprise is we don't yet know what's in it, so it genuinely is a night of surprises.
Well, you've surprised me already. It's not just us. Our live show is part of an exciting new podcast festival called Crosswires, which is taking place in some really amazing venues across Sheffield from the 31st of May to the 2nd of June.
So other podcasters that you'll be able to see include Katie Price, Catherine Ryan, Ramesh Ranganathan and the original Adam Buxton. But there's also a whole host of free fringe events, family shows, surprise acts and after parties that Jane and I haven't yet been invited to.
I'm sure it's only a matter of time. Head to crosswires.live for tickets and more information.
Hey marketers, advertisers, and business owners. Find yourself chatting up the same audience in the same places, using the same old lines? Maybe it's time to podcast the net further to catch your next customer. With Acast, there's plenty of fish in the sea with more than 100,000 podcasts and millions of listeners, so there's a perfect match for every business. Use our ad platform to cast your net, then narrow down using targeting such as demographic, show categories, audience segments, and more. Find your match, then reel them in. Advertise on more than 100,000 podcasts with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.